for a minute after my share. You pass those around. Thank you.
You may want to mention that it's 2 pages.
Oh, it shouldn't be 2 pages. Maybe that's just the top one.
Maybe
it
it's just the top one. Okay, cool.
Everybody on a sheet?
No.
No? Thank you.
Oh, this one?
It's two-sided, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Read it over.
Everybody have a sheet now?
No.
Still not? Is there like a, is there a stack getting stuck somewhere? Now? Who still needs a sheet? Oh, a bunch of people over here. Am I being recorded?
Yeah.
God, I hate that. Just put it over there.
Is this a lachashir?
Is it what?
A lachashir?
It's an interesting question. I guess you'll have to determine that at the end. Life is rooted in halacha, you know. Now everybody have one?
Yeah.
Let's roll. What's today's date?
24.
Yud Aleph Adar. So I'm a little, like I'm coming into the sheet, yes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's, yeah. So I'm coming into the sheet a little late, because really we should have talked about this 11 days ago, but since it's Adar, and I would definitely say that Purim is the climax of Adar, and then even post-Adar, we are still in Adar. I want to talk about Adar. And particularly the concept of Simcha during the month of Adar. More specifically, how we practically can reach the goal, I guess, of achieving Simcha on not only on Purim, but throughout the month of Adar. And hopefully what we'll try to do this morning is to define or offer a few different definitions of Simcha and what Simcha means, particularly obviously in the context of Yahadut, in an attempt to practically put our finger on how to go about achieving the most meaningful Purim, and of course the days of Adar that follow thereafter. Interestingly, and we all know Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. Why do we know that, Gemara? It's in the Gemara, yes, but it's actually an added sidebar to a grander concept in the Gemara that I think we're familiar with it, but less so. We know Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha because we sing it all the time, yes? And, well, yes, well, I didn't hear it. But it's actually an add-on in the Gemara to the statement of the Mishnah of Mishenichnas Av Mima'atin B'Simcha. And that Gemara appears in Maseches Tanis, Daf Chavtet Amud Aleph, and you have it in front of you. And the Gemara is commenting on the statement of the Mishnah of Mishenichnas Av Mima'atin B'Simcha, and there is no mention of Adar actually in the Mishnah. The Gemara continues to explain Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Berei de Rav Shmuel, Bar Shilas, Mishamei de Rav, Kishem Shemishenichnas Av Mima'atin B'Simcha, Kach. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. Says the Gemara, in the same way that when Av comes in, we are mima'atin b'simcha, we pull back on our level of simcha, so too, mishenichnas Adar marbim b'simcha. So too, when Adar comes in, we increase our level of simcha. And while I think it is less defined of how we increase our level of simcha, the way in which to figure out how to do so actually comes from the first part of the statement, which is rooted in the Mishnah, which is Mishenichnas Av Mima'atin B'Simcha. How do I know that there's a direct parallel? Because the statement of the Gemara is Kishem. In the same way that when Av comes in, we lessen our simcha, in that very same way, when Adar comes in, we are marbin b'simcha. So the way, in a certain sense, to determine what is behind the simcha of Adar is to understand what is behind the lessening of the simcha of the month of Av. The root, of course, of the lessening of the simcha of the month of Av is from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, not only the physical structure of the Beit HaMikdash, but of course everything that the Beit HaMikdash itself represents. That relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, the direct link between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, which all sits both literally and figuratively in the Beit HaMikdash, was destroyed during the month of Av, and that is of course what we are mourning. And so in a certain sense, what do we need to create? What needs to happen in Adar? The opposite, the reconnection. V'yasuli mikdash v'shachati b'tocham, which we know is not only the literal rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, but it is also the figurative reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the month of Adar. And that is actually hinted to in the name of the month. What does Adar mean?
Adir.
It means Aleph Dar. Aleph is Hashem, there's only one with a capital O or a capital W, some of my kids think. Right? There is only one, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dar means to live, right? To dwell. The purpose of the month or the goal of the month of Adar is to come to a level in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally living. Daring, if there is such a word, within me. We'll have to talk about how we get to that point, but there's a beautiful midrash in Sefer Shmot. The midrash brings a mashal. It's source number 2 on your sheet. Mashal lemelech shehaya lo bat yichida. A king who has one single daughter. Ba echad min hamlachim v'natla. One of the kings, someone who was worthy of marrying her, came and natla and takes her and wants to marry her. This prince, this royal, someone from the royal family comes along and wants to marry the king's only daughter. Not only does he want to marry her, he wants to take her back to his place of kingship. Amar lo. So the king says to this man who wants to marry his daughter, Biti shenatati lecha yichiditi. This daughter who I am giving to you, she is my only daughter. Lifrosh mimena eini yachol. I cannot separate from her. I can't be apart from her. Lomar lecha al title eini yachol. Lefi shehi ishtecha. I also can't tell you don't take her from me because, after all, she's going to be your wife. So I'm stuck. I want to be with her. I don't want to give her up. But I understand that that's kind of part of what happens when my daughter is going to get married. Ela zo tova aseli. So the king says to the man who will marry his only daughter, do me this one favor. Shekol makom she'ata oleich, kiton echad aseli, she'ador etzlachem. Wherever you take her, wherever you go, what's he asking for? Build me a guest apartment. Build me a side entrance so that I can have the best of both worlds. I can give you my daughter, but I never actually have to leave her. She'eini yachol laniach et biti. Because I can't just give her up. I have to know that I could always be near her. So wherever you go, I'll go with you. And that's the pshara. You can have her, but I have to, it's a package deal. I have to come along. I have to be able to come along. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bnei Yisrael, and this is the root of the connection between them, Natati lachem et haTorah. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I gave you, Bnei Yisrael, my Torah, my very precious Torah, that I cannot separate from. It's too precious for me to cut myself off from. Lifroshe mena eini yachol. I cannot cut myself off from the Torah. Lomar lachem al titluha eini yachol. But I also can't tell you, Bnei Yisrael, don't take away my Torah. I want you to take away my Torah. I want you to hold on to it. Ela bechol makom sha'atem olchim. Bayit echad asuli sha'adur betocho. Shene'emar v'asuli mikdash. So therefore, what is this concept of building a mikdash, whether again it is the literal mishkan, or the more permanent Beit HaMikdash, or perhaps more figuratively, the little mini mikdash that exists in each and every one of us? That is the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu not being able to leave us. Because we are the holders of his Torah, we are the keepers of his Torah, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, build me a mikdash so that I will always be with you, because I can't leave that precious Torah that I have given to you. And so when Moshe Rabbeinu addresses Bnei Yisrael in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Dalet, right before, of course, the end of his own life, and what does he say? One of the many things that he notes about Bnei Yisrael in source number 3, Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav. What is unique about Klal Yisrael is their unique connection. The very tight, the very geographically short connection between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's unique about Klal Yisrael, is that we enjoy that red hotline connection that we have to Hashem. And that seems to be what is symbolized or what is unique about Chodesh Adar. Why specifically to Chodesh Adar? So go back to Rashi on Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. What is specific to Adar that makes it an appropriate month for Adar, bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Ladur amongst us? Says Rashi, Mishenichnas Adar Yimei Nisim Hayuli Yisrael Purim UPesach. What is unique about Chodesh Adar is that it marks the beginning of a tkufa of Nisim. The tkufa of the Nes, of course, by Megillat Esther, and the Nes of Yitziat Mitzrayim. What does Nisim have to do with Adar, with bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell within us? What's a Nes all about? What is a nes all about? A nes demonstrates HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special protection of Bnei Yisrael, right? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going out of the natural realm, or in the story of Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu working within the natural realm, right? To give extra, added, special protection. It's a reflection of the special relationship that Bnei Yisrael enjoy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nes in the Hebrew language has two meanings. One, of course, as we know, is
miracle.
Miracle. And a nes also means?
It's a banner.
It's a banner, right? The Ramban says that a nes is a banner. What's the connection? So they're not far apart. The nes is, meaning the banner explanation, is that's what a nes is. A nes is a public statement. It's a hanging sign that says, B'nai Israel have a special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Hashem performed this miracle for B'nai Israel. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu walked B'nai Israel through water. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged for the Nes of Purim to happen. It is a banner. It is a public display of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unique relationship with B'nai Israel. It's not by accident that which parashiyot are read in the month of Adar. Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisa, Vayakel, Pekud, they are all read in the month of Adar, quite appropriately so, because, again, all of these parashiyot are about the Mishkan, are about, again, clicking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, making that relationship actually happen during specifically the month of Adar. So if Adar is about bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives, again, in perhaps the literal and figurative sense, what does that have to do with Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha? Really, the Gemara should have said Mishenichnas Adar Marbim, I don't know, B'Hashem, Marbim B'Dveikut B'Hashem. We have to now bridge the gap or explain or try to understand how does one achieve the bringing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into one's life via Simcha. Why is Simcha specifically the chosen way in which to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer to us specifically during the month of Adar. So I'd like to suggest actually three different possibilities, three different, I don't know, explanations or angles on the concept of Simcha specific to both Chodesh Adar and also to Purim per se. Alright? So let's take a look at number one. We read in Parshat Yitro, a few weeks back already, that when Yitro hears about the Nisim v'Niflaos that took place, again, not coincidentally, via Nes, right? The tremendous Nes of Yitzias Mitzrayim. How does Yitro react? Source number four. In Sefer Shmot, obviously Parshat Yitro, Perek Yudchet Pasuk Tet, Vayichad Yitro, Al Kol HaTova Asher Asa Hashem LiYisrael, Asher Hitzilo Miad Mitzrayim. What is Yitro's reaction upon hearing all of the Nisim v'Niflaos that occurred to B'nai Yisrael in Mitzrayim? Vayichad Yitro. What does the word Vayichad mean? Okay, you want to say trembling because you think it's from the Shoresh Charada and the middle letter resh drops out, which is not uncommon in Tanakh. What do we do when we want to figure out what a word means in Tanakh? Okay, we generally go to try to find other words from the same roots. Yes? That's Vayichan Sham Neged Ha'har, right? From Lachanot, to encamp. Yes, Juliana. Okay, good. So you look for parallel Shorashim, and often we look for the first appearance of the Shoresh for the most classic use of the word. Where does the term or the Shoresh of Chad ever appear in Tanakh?
Isn't it the Shoresh?
Say that again? Where? Okay, it could be, but in the words of the Torah itself. So it's a trick question, because the Shoresh never exists. And what's the fancy term for a one-time only cameo appearance in Tanakh? That's right. You have to sound wise in life, okay?
Hey, Pax, like, Gamanon.
Shawnee.
Uh-oh, I think I spelled it.
It's like
Gamanon.
Okay? This is known as, you can all sound very wise. This is known as a hapex legomenon. This is a word, a shoresh, that appears only once in the entire Tanakh. And that, of course, makes it all the more complicated to understand what this word means. And yes, we try to find what its shoresh is. Rashi offers two possibilities. Vayichag Yitro means Vayismach Yitro. Yitro was happy. He was elated. How do you get from Vayichad to Vayismach? From etymology? What would Chad be? Chad would be probably a shortened version, according to this interpretation of Rashi, of Chedva. Exactly. Right? It would be it would mean happiness. Elation. Yitro was thrilled to hear what happened to Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim or post Mitzrayim, and then Rashi continues Zehu Pshuto Umidrasho Naaseh Besaro Chadudin Miyatzer Al Ibud Mitzrayim. So Rashi says in possibility number two is what happened to Yitro upon hearing of what happened to Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim. His flesh was chadudin, chadudin. It's unclear if Rashi means that something sharp grew out from his flesh or that he inflicted sharp, I don't know, wounds onto his flesh upon hearing what occurred in Mitzrayim. Why? Mietzer al ibud Mitzrayim. For Yitro, the downfall of Mitzrayim and the rise of Bnei Yisrael was, of course, painful for him. It was difficult for him to accept that reality because, after all, who was Yitro? According to the Midrash, who was Yitro? According to the Midrash, Yitro was an officer of none other than Paro himself. Right? So, of course, we know, certainly, according to Pshat, and it could have been that he was both. Right? That he was a Midianite priest, obviously part of the royalty of the region, so much so that the Midrash puts him as an advisor to Paro. So for him, it's a crushing blow to hear about the downfall of Mitzrayim. For Yitro, it's painful to hear about what occurred to Bnei Yisrael because of what it means for Mitzrayim. So what is it? I'm okay with Rashi bringing two differing opinions, right? Rashi's often doing that, and again, we have a chad pa'ami word being used in Tanakh, and we need to figure it out. But what's striking about Rashi's two suggestions is that they're on two opposite ends of the spectrum, right? I have him either being elated by what happened to Mitzrayim, or I have Yitro being devastated by what happened to Mitzrayim. You can't get any farther polar opposites than these as explanations for the term Vayichad Yitro. So how can we reconcile these two explanations? And I think the Baal HaTurim alludes to the answer, Vayichad Yitro, Sheyichid, and this is obviously coming from a different angle, but incorporating both of Rashi's answers, Sheyichad Libo Lekel Echad V'Na'asa Yehudi. What does Vayichad mean here for Yitro, according to the Baal HaTurim? Vayichad Libo means it unified, from the word yachad. Again, a potential third understanding of this chet dalet shorish of vayichad, again, according to Baal HaTurim, it's three, it's yud chet dalet, right? It's the unification of, I think, what Rashi is implying, and that is Yitro had two reactions. Yitro had a mixed reaction to the downfall of Mitzrayim. Because on the one hand, he had a head reaction. If he was, in fact, a sire to Paro, then he is, in his mind, logically, of course, very devastated by what happened to the Mitzrayim. But Yitro also has a heart. Yitro also has an emotional reaction. And that reaction is the knowledge that what happened is MS. What happened had to happen. So much so that what happens to Yitro thereafter, also indicated by the Baal HaTurim's explanation, Yitro puts his heart and his mind together. He takes these two polar opposite reactions and he unifies them. How so? By kind of understanding that the heart and the head have to work together. And understanding that while it is difficult for him as a Midianite priest, while it is difficult for him as an officer in the palace of Paro to accept the downfall of Mitzrayim, he also knows in his heart that that's right. He also understands that that had to happen. And he recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots. And that it's God who actually made all of this happen. Again, so much so that he puts it all together. V'nasa Yehudi. And he becomes a Jew. He sees the MS. He understands that the MS is difficult to accept. But he puts it all together and makes a decision to become a Jew. And that reads back into Vayichad Yitro, Rashi's explanation of Vayismach Yitro. What was there to be happy about? Because ultimately, Yitro felt that he was at peace. He came to a difficult decision by putting his heart and mind, by unifying his heart and mind together. And that's what brought him Simcha. Understanding, recognizing the MS, even though that was a difficult decision to come to. And the Ali Shor has a beautiful explanation of Simcha, which incorporates this idea of Simcha is a manifestation of Shlimut, of when two opposites come together. When two opposites can be unified, that is an expression or the ultimate definition of Simcha. And if you take a look at the Ali Shor himself, he says it in beautiful words in source number 5. Shamayim va'aretz ish v'isha neshama v'guf nigudim heim. These are all opposite forces. Lo tamid heim nisharim nigudim. However, they do not always remain at odds with each other. Yesh shemashpi'im zeh al zeh l'tova. Sometimes we find these opposing forces not only affect the other positively, but they actually totally co-join and create this concept of utter unity. Whenever two opposite forces in the universe come together, that creates simcha, or that defines simcha. V'ze mikoma umahuta shel ha-simcha. Simcha occurs at the meeting point between two opposite forces. B'chol makom shehi nimtzeit, yesh hitkashrut o achdut. Hava v'nireh. Let's take a look at some examples. Hageshamim, right? As you all know from being Eretz Yisrael in Tkufat Hageshamim, right? There is true simcha when rain comes down from the sky. What is it about rain that is a source of simcha? It is the hashpa'at hashamayim al ha'aretz. Rain is a meeting point. It is a connection between what is usually separate. Usually shamayim is up here, aretz is down here. Why is rain such a source of simcha? Because it is literally bringing pieces, raindrops of the Shamayim, and to be mitachid here on this earth. Hamayim ha'elyonim zecharim. Okay, I'm not getting into that whole thing. Harei ha'gishamim. Skip down a few lines. Him, he's davgut Shamayim va'aretz. Ukshehim yordim kol ha'olam smechim. Lachin kol adam she'ein lo isha sharoi below simcha. Right? We all know the famous statement of Chazal, Ein simcha below Isha, a man cannot feel happiness if he is not married. She'ein lo imi lehitachi. Because going in line with this theory of what Simcha is all about, Simcha is again this achdut. It is the tying together between two opposite forces. Simcha shel mitzvah. Okay, what does that mean? How would we define it within this theory the concept of the simcha of doing a mitzvah? He simchat adam amitkasher im boro al yidei hamitzvah. Once again, it's two polar forces. It's the mortal and the immortal. Right? It's the divine and the here on earth coming together via the performance of a mitzvah. Al haTorah umro biyom chatunato ze sinai ubiyom simchat libo eilu divrei Torah. Right? It is the Torah itself that binds, that causes this simcha, because it is the bridge between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this world, which we're going to expand upon in a second. Go to the last paragraph. Hare shamayim va'aretz mitzvah v'torah v'avodat beit hamikdash. Kol makom sheyesh bo hitachdut v'zivug yesh sham simcha. Upashutu ki kol hasmachot ha'elu einan ba'ot mimela. Because the world is made up of opposing forces, simcha cannot occur naturally. Why? Because these forces in a natural state remain separate. It takes something to actually bring these forces together. Ki ein hitachdut v'hitkashrut b'li da'at. Okay, and the Alei Shur says that what is the force in the world that brings these polar opposites together? It's Deya, it's Chachma, it's knowledge, which is going to bridge us into our next definition of Simcha in a minute. Lachein ne'emar b'tochecha b'kitavo, tachat asher lo avadeta et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha u'betuv levav mirov kol. Va'avadeta et oyvecha v'chulei b'ra'av v'choser, etc. Ve'amar Rabbi Nachman b'choser kol b'leo deya. What is one missing if one does not experience simcha? He's missing the da'at. He's missing the knowledge that brings these opposing forces together. Ach simcha shel da'at lo tavo mimela v'tzrichim lihitlamel keitzad lahagia ileha. And that is the starting point. Okay? So what is, according to the example of Vayichad Yitro, and the simcha that we learn out from Yitro, the knowledge that Yitro had that brought him to that level of simcha, allowed him to overcome his, again, naturally, emotionally difficult reaction to the downfall of Mitzrayim. And therefore, simcha can be defined for us as a meeting of the heart and the mind, which are generally polar opposites. That is the entire concept of Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. What does that simcha come from? That comes from an inner shleimut, a reconciliation between the heart and the mind that don't always think alike. And again, I think it's particularly fitting here and now. We have been sitting and learning and steiging for how many months has it been? Six? So we're at seven already. Six is not so long, right? But this is the point where we try to put the machshava and the ma'asim together. This is the point where we really try to put the bigger picture together as we move into the next Shlav. That's what this tkufa is all about. Bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives, both through the mind and the heart, with what being the connecting point? Da'at. Okay? And that brings me to the next quote-unquote definition, or the next angle on Simcha, and what does Simcha really mean? And we're going to do a simple lesson in logic, which was actually very much made famous by Rav David Lipschitz, who used to hang up signs in his yeshiva that looked as the like this. Everybody remembers from logic? A equals B.
C equals
B equals C, and therefore?
A equals C.
Right. I don't even remember how to write it.
A equals C.
Therefore.
Okay, how do you, okay, whatever. Down. Who cares? Okay, something like that, right?
Upside down.
Did I do it wrong?
No, it's good.
It's good enough, okay? And this is, here's what Rav David Lipschitz used to do. Mishanichnas Adar. Marbim, b'simcha. We know the famous statement of Chazal. Ein simcha, ela b'Torah. Therefore, mishanichnas Adar, marbim b'Torah. And he used to write, V'chol ha-marbe, harei zeh meshubach. And that is potentially, it's not all that far from definition number one of simcha, but simcha is achieved through Liman HaTorah. That's our classic definition of simcha. Simcha is brought about to us via Liman HaTorah, which again flows quite naturally from our initial definition of simcha. Because the more we know, the more de'ah that we have, the greater ability we will have for our hearts and our minds to work together to achieve this level of achdut for the sake of avodat Hashem. So whereas Purim, Chodesh Adar, is of course a time of shtiklach and costumes. What is it really about? How does one really bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu into their lives and achieve what Adar, Hashem living within us, is all about? It's very simple. You learn Torah, right? And that applies certainly also after Purim leaves, right? And we return to the Beit Midrash after Shushan Purim, which is for you this year, your real Purim, right? That's something to think about. That achieving what the month of Adar is all about is literally learning Torah to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. So that is, I would say, method number two of achieving Adar, of achieving HaKadosh Baruch Hu's closeness, is of course simply by learning Torah. And lastly, perhaps yet another way to achieve simcha in Chodesh Adar is, I think, most reflected in the mitzvot of Purim itself. This is a very famous halacha in the back of your source sheet in the Rambam. It's passing like this, obviously, halacha lemaisa. What the Rambam says about matanot levyonim and mishloach manot. Source number 6, mutav la'adam laharbot b'matanot evyonim mi laharbot b'su'udato u'bishloach manot l're'av. Which mitzvot on Purim do we have to, or should we be investing the most into? Matanot levyonim. Much more so than in the mitzvah of Suda, much more so in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot, we need to be machmirim in Matanot Le'Avyonim. Why? She'ein sham simcha gedola u'mefuara, ela l'sameach lev aniyim v'yitomim v'almanot v'girim. Because there is no greater level of simcha than bringing simcha to somebody else who does not have it. There is no greater level of simcha than being misameach. Sheh misameach lev ha'umlalim ha'elu. Domeh l'shechina. Because by bringing simcha to others who are in need of that simcha, what are we doing? We are bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives, according to the Rambam, very simply by imitating him. a way in which to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to act like Him. If you act godly, then you will be deserving of divine presence in your own life. And how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu misameach others? It is by bringing, by giving to those in need. And then, in that sense, we create a way of life, of giving. And we imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'achayot ruach shvelim, u'la'achayot lev nidakim. Right? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the reviver. He instills life into those who are lowly, into those who need a pick-me-up. And that, in essence, is what Purim is all about. It's not a concentration on who has the nicest mishloach manot and who has the shtickiest mishloach manot and the cutest poem and the most, matching accessories. That's not what Purim is about. The focus of Purim is the simcha of Purim. And how is that simcha of Purim achieved? Matanot le'evyonim. It is the giving of ourselves to other people. There's a fascinating halachic term known as a tefach sochek. We're all familiar with the concept of a tefach. Yes? Of course. There is something, and it's it actually comes up in Hilchos Sukkah, okay? Known as a tefach sochek. How would you define a tefach mathematically? Right, so that's we all know. Is it a palm? Is it two fingers? Is it four fingers? Yes, sound familiar? Yes, right? However big a tefach is, what is a tefach sochek? By the way, what does it literally mean? What does it mean? Yeah, but a tefach sochek. What's the word sochek is? To laugh, right? It's a happy tefach. What does it mean, a happy tefach? A tefach is a tefach, right? What's a happy tefach? So Rashi explains, how do you measure a tefach? So a tefach itself is always tight fingers. Again, however you want to define it, right? Let's just say, for argument's sake, that it's four. It's four tight fingers, right? What's a tefach sochek? Which is so interesting because we're trying to get to a mathematical amount, right? A tefach sochek is this much. It has a distance in between the fingers. Modedin ba'arba etzba'ot she'inam nog'ot zo bazo. It's a tefach plus a mashu. Dehev a tefach v'mashu. It's a tefach and a little bit. It's a tefach and a little bit more. Not with tight fingers, but measured actually with four loose fingers. And why is that known as a tefach sochek? What is happy about that tefach? It's not confined unto itself, right? It's a tefach that extends beyond the literal and exacted and close, tight-knit definition of a tefach. I find it to be a fascinating concept that even in halacha, this concept of just loosening a little bit, going out beyond oneself, even just a drop, that's a tefach sochek. That's a tefach that's just a little bit larger than a tefach itself. And what makes it sochek, what makes it a happy tefach, is that it goes beyond its own parameters, is that it opens itself up a little bit to the outside. And that is, as we see from the halachot of even Purim, as brought down the halacha and the Rambam, that's what simcha is about. Simcha is about giving to somebody else. Simcha is about not worrying about oneself, but rather looking beyond oneself to find who can I make happy, because that is going to bring me happiness. And there's no doubt that on Purim itself, there are many opportunities to do that, but it extends beyond Purim as well. Because we are talking about Chodesh Adar, and we are talking about bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into me. How do I become like HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do I open myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And in our third definition, it's very simple. It means opening ourselves outward. It means giving to other people. It means making other people happy, because that is how I achieve happiness. So just to quickly recap the three definitions of simcha that we spoke about today, the first being learned out from Yitro and his polar opposite reaction and his polar and the polar opposite forces in the world described to us by the LA Shore. Simcha is achieved when these polar opposites come together, when forces come together and you are able to be Ove HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha, meaning with a full heart and a full mind that unify together in the worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And secondly, we learn that simcha during the month of Adar, which again brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can be achieved by doing that which we've been doing all year. And that is continuing and steeping up and intensifying our Limud HaTorah, because what greater way to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to learn His words myself. And finally, and something particularly to think about, not only on Purim, but in the weeks beyond as well, the way in which to achieve closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is simply by giving, is simply by extending oneself beyond the self, and looking for opportunities to be misameach others. That is essentially what Purim is all about. And that is yet another method by which one can bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer. I wish everyone here a very simcha-filled Purim, and may we all achieve the true definition of Mishanichnas Adar Marbim Simcha. Purim Sameach. And enjoy and bahatzlacha.
Thank you.
Who wants breaks on fasting? You can't even eat.
How are we doing now?
The next year starts in 5 minutes.
It's good to stand up.
I guess. 5 minutes.
Sometimes I go outside, run around in a circle, and come back in.